I want to get right into the scripture this morning. We have more scripture than usual. We have a very important, I believe, subject this morning. We're going to be in three scriptures. First one is in 1 John. If you want to just find these books, 1 John is over near the book of Revelation. 1 John and then 1 Thessalonians, coming backwards. 1 Thessalonians. We'll be in chapter 2 of each one of those. 1 John 2, 1 Thessalonians 2. We're also going to be in Matthew 24. If you want to just wait, we'll go to that in a few moments. I realize I've preached many times from Matthew 24. This will not be the same, as we will be looking at something different today. The Lord laid a message on my heart concerning the Antichrist and the importance of understanding this. It is not just about a man. It's not just the man, it's the spirit. So the title of the message is Antichrist the Spirit and Antichrist the Man. We'll be looking at both, and we'll also find some surprising things as to where this arises from. You have so many that try to figure out all the little details of these things, and they lose the understanding in trying to turn it into a system of theology over which to argue at the table. In 1 John chapter 2, John introduces this subject of the Antichrist. In chapter 18, in verse 18, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. I want you to underline that phrase, because this is critical to our message and our understanding of this subject in the Word of God. Antichrist is coming, but many Antichrists have already come. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us. They went out from us. Notice this. He's speaking of the Antichrists, plural. They went out from us, but they were not of us. You know, as believers, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. Amen?
Amen.
And the Antichrist spirit is in the church, in individuals, but it's not of the church. It doesn't originate with the Spirit of God. It originates with the spirit of Satan. But they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Keeping those things in mind as we continue, turn now to 1 Thessalonians. Actually, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. I wrote that down wrong. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto Him. What is our gathering together to Him known as?
The rapture.
It is the gathering of the saints of God unto Christ. Our gathering together to Him. And this is not the subject this morning, but for those of you that you just are torn and you wonder about these things. So the popular teaching in the church is that the rapture is before the great tribulation. And yet we're going to find that this is the rapture he speaks of. And yet it says that it cannot come unless first the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. Paul warns of this, and John warns of this. They all warn of this. Let no one deceive you, because Jesus said there were going to be many deceivers and much deception within the church. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. That is the Antichrist, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God. Underline this. He sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, First John says, where did the Antichrist come from? From among us. They went out from us because they were not of us. The true people of God reject them. The true people of God have discernment. But many follow them. And so in the end times, you find in this passage it says there's coming a great falling away. That falling away has already been begun for years now. There's a great falling away from the true faith. And people who still call themselves believers. And so you have a church that becomes more and more like the world. A church system that arises that doesn't believe in the truth of God's word and embraces things that are of the Antichrist. And so he sets himself up in the temple of God so that he makes himself out to be God. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, because these things are going to become even more clear and are very important, where he comes from and where he is going. Where he comes from and where he sets himself up. Where he comes from and who he really has come to influence. Who he has come to deceive. We have many misconceptions and misunderstandings concerning this subject in the church today. And I want to just name three of these. Three things that I believe are misconceptions or that are wrong attitudes towards this subject. The first one is that we just think of him as a future figure. We think of him as a future figure. How will we know that he's the Antichrist? When will the Antichrist come? How will we recognize him? And how will we resist him? And all of these things. And so we think that he is just this man who is to come. It is equally important to understand that Antichrist is a spirit, and then Antichrist is a man. And we will develop that a little further in a few moments. He is a spirit. There is a spirit that goes out, and many people are inhabited and influenced by that spirit. And it's called the Antichrist spirit. It is everywhere that rebellion exists, everywhere that man opposes God and opposes the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to see where he wants to be most of all. And so it's a spirit that goes out, and then in time he is manifest by that spirit fully inhabits one man who rises up filled with evil, filled with deception, filled with lies, and he is called the Antichrist. We have the spirit and we have the man. Number two, we have the misconception that he comes from the world for the world. In other words, everybody's trying to figure out what ethnicity he is and where he arises from. And he comes and we only see him as this world figure that deceives the world. And there is a measure of truth in that, but you need to understand the world is already under his power. The Bible says the world is under the power of the prince of the air. That is Satan himself who inhabits this man, the Antichrist, when he comes. But the world already belongs to him. He's not coming for the world. And you're going to see in a moment that's not where his desire lies at all. The third thing is that we focus on 666 rather than understanding the spirit and how this affects us and what we need to guard against. And taking that a step further, we have developed all of these teachings based upon the things that I just read to you and many others in the Word of God. Let me just rephrase it a different way. Jesus did not give us Matthew 24, nor these other teachings for us to debate. He did not give it to us for us to concoct systems of theology about whether it's pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, whether it's premillennial, post-millennial, and to divide ourselves into camps in the body of Christ. And God help you, if you don't belong to my camp, you must not be a Christian. That's the attitude in the body of Christ. There are many who defend pre-trib to such a degree that you're basically lost if you don't believe in it. And there are many who defend all these different systems, and they have, since I was a kid and years before that, they have identified over and over, oh, the Antichrist is Gorbachev, oh, the Antichrist is Bill Clinton, oh, the Antichrist is this one, that one, or the other one. And people debate and they argue these things. The Lord did not give us these things to argue. He gave us these things to warn us.
Amen.
And speaking of the timing of the rapture, the Lord did not give us something complicated in Matthew 24 that we couldn't figure out and we would have to debate through the centuries and chop the church up into pieces. Amen. He gave us a straightforward, in time, orderly treatise on His coming and what would be the signs of His coming that we as the church would understand.
Amen.
What to look for and to keep our focus upon the Christ.
Amen.
Upon the Lord, that we not be deceived.
Thank you, Lord.
We worry about the timing of the rapture, the identity of the Antichrist, and we turn this thing into a puzzle, a big puzzle. And everybody puts the puzzle together a different way. They still come up with a picture of Jesus coming again. They have all these different puzzle photos, these scenarios, and they divide and fight over it. What a horrible thing in the body of Christ. It's complicated. It's dry. It is a systematic theology that has nothing to do with the Spirit of Christ. We've fallen into the same era as Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Eve decided and Adam thought that the very key of life was in knowledge. In knowledge. So much of the church world is about gathering knowledge. And the Bible says in the end times, knowledge will abound. You can have all the knowledge of these things you want and not have the Spirit of Christ.
That's right.
There are people, I've seen people who could argue dates and times and charts and figures about the second coming of Christ, had no Spirit of Christ, no love of Christ. It was just something to debate and argue to prove themselves right. But the Lord gives us these things that we might, in knowing Him, we might recognize the timing of His coming, that we might be prepared. Jesus gives us the straightforward warning in Matthew 24 that we need to take heed and listen to direct our faith towards Him, to draw near to Him in this hour. He promises that He's returning. Amen.
Amen.
But Antichrist comes first. Antichrist comes first. So in Matthew 24, let's begin with verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came up to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now as He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of Your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in My name, saying, 'I am the Christ.'" That word Christ means the Anointed One. And so many have come, even in our lifetimes, saying, I'm anointed, and become showmen that I will mention in a moment, displaying the anointing supposedly of God as though it is some stage show, stage magic, in order to entertain the people of God. "Many will come in My name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." They will deceive many. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled." See that you are not troubled. Say it a third time. See that you are not troubled. "For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. for nation will rise against nation, and in the original, that's ethnic groups against ethnic groups, and we see that today.
Yes.
Kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And I'm just going to pause right there. So Jesus begins to expound for the disciples all of the things that are going to happen before his return. Beginning in, as we're going to see as we get down a little bit further, as we get to, as we began, we reached verse 9, as we get there, he begins to speak expressly of the church. He's not talking about the world. He's talking to the church, and he's talking about the church. This is going to be important in just a moment. But he talks about all the things that we've heard so many times, and we see these things happening even now. And every generation has seen them to some degree and thought, oh, this is part of the signage of the coming of the Lord. But we see it increase and increase and increase. And it becomes like birth pangs, the word says, in intensity and frequency. And we see things that cause men's heart to fail, he says, for fear of the things coming upon the earth. Famines and wars and rumors of wars. That's interesting because in our lifetime, in my lifetime, it has gone from wars to things that they can't even call a war. They don't even declare war. It's not named a war. We just hear of battles. We hear of conflicts in various places. It's a rumor. It's rumors of war. It's never declared war for political reasons and for financial reasons, but it is called a conflict. And there are people fighting one nation against another and one ethnic group against another. And all of these things that the Lord says we see coming to pass even in this hour. But the Lord begins now to turn as we get down a little bit further. He's going to introduce the subject again of the Antichrist. And we're going to see what he has to say about it and how it relates to what we are already saying. So in verse 9, I'm going to read that again. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets, these are antichrists, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Notice the many. Many will arise and deceive many. If they're false prophets, who are they going to? The church. False prophets will arise and many will come and they will deceive many. I know that in recent years, at times people have misunderstood and thought that I was just that I took some kind of pleasure in talking about the evils of the church in America today. But I'm simply bringing to light the things that the Word of God says. We are supposed to recognize this when it happens, because there's going to be a great falling away in the church. Doesn't mean the church necessarily shuts down. It means there's a falling away from the truth of the Word of God. And you have false prophets, false teachers, which then causes a false church to arise.
That's right.
And that becomes the visible church to most of the world.
That's right.
Whereas the Lord has His true believers that are hidden away. He has those in small groups worshiping Him, loving Him, honoring Him. His church is throughout the earth. He always has a remnant.
Amen.
And there are multitudes, when you think of it in worldwide terms, there are multitudes within this remnant. But it's not the majority. Jesus says, narrow is the way, and few are they who find it. And so there's this huge church system that becomes corrupt, and we have seen that happen in our lifetime.
Yes.
False prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. Therefore, now we begin to look at this subject. as he begins to speak of the church, and he begins to speak of the Antichrist. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that is expressly speaking of the Antichrist, the man, standing in the holy place. Whoever reads, let him understand. Why would he say, whoever reads, let him understand? Unless there's something to be understood a little deeper here. Now, I'm going to preface, I had this for a moment later, but I'm going to get ahead of myself. I realize that we've all been taught, and yes, I believe that there's going to be a temple that's rebuilt. I believe Antichrist is going to go into the temple and declare himself to be God. But beloved, when you read prophecy, and those who have been here for a long time, you know this. When you read prophecy, it speaks to the church on a different level. It has layers of meaning and layers that we see that unfold as we study it. And we find that even as he's speaking to these disciples, many of these things happened to them in the first century under Nero's persecution, which in its day was the worst tribulation that had ever come upon believers in the world. But it's coming again. And so prophecy has multiple applications. And when he says here that he sits in the temple and makes himself God, as we have read in three different passages of Scripture in one way or another, and then he says, let him who reads understand. We'll come back to that. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. When you see this, when you begin to see this, you flee. Flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything from his house. You begin to have a detachment from material things. I believe that is important for us today. You begin to have a detachment from the importance of material things, that you don't have anything that you can't willingly leave behind. To be able to leave behind anything that hinders you in following Christ. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may be in winter, not be in winter, or on the Sabbath, or when there will be great, for when there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, we're just going to keep reading, then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise up and show great signs and wonders. Remember, these are antichrists. Those who counterfeit the things of God, those who teach false things in the name of Christ to the church, they are antichrists. They are of the antichrist spirit. They will show great signs and wonders. The antichrist, when he arises, will show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand, this is the love of Christ.
Amen.
See, I have told you beforehand,
Amen.
So that you will understand.
Amen.
Because he is not willing that any should perish, nor does he want you to go unaware into a time like this without knowing how to find peace and how to find protection. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Immediately, notice this, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the Tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Praise God. And he will send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, hang on, because I need to move quickly. I still have a lot to give you. The Lord gives us the warning that we might take heed, that we might flee from things that are holding us, that are hindering us, that we might be fully His in that hour, that we might not be deceived by false prophets that come into the church. He speaks of persecution, of offense. He speaks of false prophets, and He speaks of lawlessness. These are all Antichrist spirit that we see manifesting. In verse 15, He began to warn of the Antichrist. In verse 21, He speaks of the great tribulation. Now understand that the Antichrist spirit, well, let me back up. The tribulation, all through history there have been tribulations.
Yes.
But now we see, in that hour, we see the great tribulation. Tribulations give way to one great final hour of tribulation. Likewise, we see that the Antichrist spirit that has permeated the world and is then permeating the church, deceiving believers, now that spirit manifests in one man. We're going to see how that happens in just a minute. It manifests itself in one man, and the Lord gives us warning of these things. And what a cry. What a cry will go up. What a cry there's going to be on the day when Jesus comes and He separates the sheep from the goats, and He says to many who were in the church, who did signs and wonders and performed miracles, who healed the sick and who called upon His name, and they come and they say, "Lord, we did all of these things in Your name." And He says, "Depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Iniquity is lawlessness. And so there's going to be a great cry, because many will go to hell. Many will go to hell because they depended, or they were deceived by a spirit of entertainment. A spirit that said, "Let us put on a show for you and call it church. Let us do things to attract the multitudes into what is called the house of God. Let us give you systems of belief that you can have lots of knowledge, but not the spirit of Christ." Antichrist is a spirit who finally manifests in a man. He is the counterfeit. Listen closely to this. He is the counterfeit of all that Jesus Christ represents. He is the opposite. He is the counterfeit of everything that Jesus Christ represents. Let me explain that a little better. He is at first He is the counterfeit, looks like and seems to be like everything that Jesus Christ represents. You don't usually hear that. Then, at the mid-tribulation point, He turns and He becomes the opposite. He's always been the opposite, but He knows how to deceive.
Yes.
And then He begins to show Himself as the opposite of everything that is representative of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's, listen to this, because you need to remember this counterfeit. Jesus is God's full expression of Himself in the earth to man. Antichrist is Satan's full expression of his lies in the earth.
Yes.
To man. Again, he will initially come with the nature, the character of Christ. He will appear to be, you won't hear this often, he will appear to be a great man of God because he's a counterfeiter. We'll see that again in a moment. This spirit, this beast, is a master at counterfeiting the things of God. Now, when the word Antichrist is mentioned, you need to remember these two words. One we've already said. Counterfeit and liar. Counterfeit and liar. You need the Word of God. You need the mind of Christ. You need the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You need everything that God has for you in order to stand in this hour and to survive this man. He is a counterfeiter of God's Holy Trinity. Satan is a counterfeiter of God's Holy Trinity. We speak often of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Antichrist will come as son of Satan. And he will have a false prophet. Causes people to worship him, to worship the image of the beast. And so we have an unholy trinity of Satan, who represents the father of the Antichrist, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, who represents counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. We'll see more of these things in a moment. We read in 1 John 2:18 two things that I pointed out to you at the beginning. He shall come, and he already has come. He shall come, the Spirit shall come in a man. He already has come in many antichrists. Notice where, as I said before, where the antichrists come from, where from whence they arise. Beloved, not from the nations, not from Islam, not from Catholicism, not from some cult, but from among us, from the church, in us, but not of us, John said. If the Antichrist plural that went out and still go out, that are from us, but not of us, that originate from deceiving the body of Christ, if all of those Antichrists animated by that one spirit first arise within the church before they go out, I don't think it will be any different with the Antichrist that is fully possessed by that spirit. I want you to let a picture begin to emerge in your mind. The first century church, the Holy Spirit came and dwelt in the church. The Spirit of Christ, same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwelt and dwells in believers in the church. Yet the fullness of that Spirit is going to return in Christ Himself. Christ is going to come to His church. And during all of this age, we have the spirit of Satan, the spirit of Antichrist, also in the church. And we find that before Jesus comes, because He's a counterfeiter and He wants to stop the things of God, the fullness of that Spirit will also come in a man, counterfeiting the things of Christ. Antichrist will come. And He's not coming for the world. He already has the world. You'll see what He wants the most in just a moment. It's what He's wanted ever since His beginning. In the end times, we find that... let me go back just a moment. Jesus is the Word made flesh, as I said a moment ago. Antichrist is the lie made flesh when He comes as a man. Today, much of the church denies the virgin birth. It's going to seem that I'm changing subjects, but I'm not. Everything in the Word of God is important. It's all infallible and it's all true. Amen?
Amen.
But today, in that great falling away, in much of the visible church, I would say in over half, if not far greater than that, of the what we call the visible church, mainly the mainline denominations that are in the world, deny that there is a virgin birth. Deny the importance of the virgin birth. They say it really doesn't matter. It's a misunderstanding. It really doesn't matter that there was a virgin birth or not. That, you know, all that matters is Jesus came. Beloved, the virgin birth at the beginning of Jesus' earthly life is foundational to who He is as the Christ, and His ability to come and save us from sin.
Amen.
I'm not going to teach on that this morning. But Jesus' blood is blood that was given by the Father through Mary as Jesus was formed. It says a body was prepared for Christ in the womb of Mary, and it was not prepared through the agency of any earthly father, or else it would have inherited the sin nature of Adam. But he did not inherit the sin nature of Adam. He came as the only begotten Son of God, free of those things, not tainted. His blood was not tainted by sin in any way. And so he came. He came of a virgin. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And that holy thing that was conceived in her was the Son of God. This is foundational that this took place. It's a truth. And you need to believe it no matter how hard it may seem for you to believe. It's not hard for me that the God who spoke the universe into existence could bring forth a child from a virgin. The counterfeit, Satan, counterfeits everything about Jesus. He counterfeits the birth, the life, the death, the miracles, and the resurrection of Christ. He comes, and you need to understand that he will bring forth a son. Satan will bring forth a son called the Antichrist. Now, this isn't in the Word, but based upon all of these truths that we see in the Word, I'm giving you an opinion. And I always will tell you if I'm giving you an opinion. I believe that Satan will have a virgin. He will have his virgin, and he will bring forth what will be claimed to be a virgin birth. He will bring forth this one, or it will be claimed that this one that suddenly steps on the world scene as an adult was born of a virgin. Because this one is going to come with all of the lying signs and wonders. Right. He's going to come looking like he does everything that Jesus does and have everything that Jesus has. He's going to come set himself up as deity. He's going to come and people are going to follow him, fall on their faces and worship him as Lord and as God. He comes as the son of Satan, possessed by Satan, in order to deceive all that he encounters. We find that he performs miracles just like Jesus. He performs signs and wonders that amaze the people of the world. He is a counterfeit of Christ. We find in the book of Revelation that he suffers a deadly head wound and dies or appears to die and is raised from the dead. The only difference is he tries to counterfeit Christ, but he cannot counterfeit the life of Christ. For when Christ was raised from the dead, he is the only one who has ever been truly resurrected.
Right.
Jesus raised many people from the dead. They were brought back. They were resuscitated, if you will. And they lived, but they died again because death still held power over them. Jesus came forth as the first of many who came forth with a glorified body, transformed, changed, and filled with the light, his own life. Those who are born,
Amen.
Those who are resurrected, those who will be resurrected, those who are caught up in the rapture and transformed, have the eternal life of Christ
Amen.
Within them, and they will never die again.
Amen.
Satan cannot do that. He comes forth. He cannot bring forth the resurrection of Christ. He comes forth. He appears to be raised or resurrected from the dead, but he is the author. He is filled with death. Everywhere he goes is death. If you look at the four horsemen of the apocalypse in the book of Revelation, they're all about the Antichrist. They're all about Satan. They're all about death because it's really four horses with one rider because they all are concerned with death, evil, destruction, the things of Satan. That's all he can produce. He can counterfeit things for a while, but the only fruit that he brings forth is the fruit of death, the fruit of deception, the fruit of destruction. Now, you need to understand also, all of this is to deceive the church.
Yes.
Not the world. The world is already deceived. The world is already under Satan's power. Satan does not need the worship, and he does not send his Antichrist after the worship of rock stars. He already has them.
That's right. Yeah.
He doesn't send the Antichrist that all of the occultists in the world might worship him and all the false religions might worship him. He already has them. He doesn't send them to the world. The world is already under his sway. He wants the bride of Christ. He wants the bride of Christ. It's all he ever wanted. From the beginning, before man was even created, in the heavenlies we find that he wanted the worship of the angels before there were even man, before there was even humans. He wanted the worship of the angels. He wanted to take God's place and even ascend higher than God, that he might receive all of the worship and adoration of the angels of God. And now, in other words, he wants whatever God has and desires. God has his bride and he desires his bride. He loves his bride. Satan is always jealous of God. And so he wants the things that belong to God. He comes, Antichrist comes to deceive the church. He comes to interrupt God's plan for his people. What he wants for his bride, to bring her forth glorified, pure, spotless, before the groom. As it was in the days of Noah, Jesus said, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, and also as it was in the days of Lot. You've heard me teach on this. In the days of Noah, there was an unholy union between the fallen angels of God and the daughters of men. And it brought forth a hybrid race. A hybrid race of giants called Nephilim. It was a violation of God's laws of procreation between the fallen angels and the daughters of man. It was so vile that God said that he would send his wrath and he would wipe them off the face of the earth. Beloved, God will again be moved to wrath because of the violation of his principles of procreation. As it was in the days of Noah, when the fallen angels came into the daughters of men, they sought one thing and one thing only. It was the destruction of the bloodline of God's people. He wanted to destroy the people of God and destroy the bloodline so the Messiah could not come. He wasn't interested in the lineage of all of the others in the world. He was only interested in the godly lineage. He came to destroy the work of God. The most famous Nephilim was a giant called Goliath. You're all familiar with Goliath. Goliath is a type and a shadow in the Old Testament of the Antichrist. He had six fingers on each hand. He had six toes on each foot, and he had six pieces of armor, and it goes on. He was covered, literally covered, with imagery of 666, which is the number of man in Trinity. The number of man making himself God. The work of Antichrist is for man to believe the lie that he believed in the garden, that man can be his own master, his own God. Goliath mocked the people of God. He opposed the people of God. He threatened and persecuted the people of God. And he would have destroyed them if it had not been for the faith of a young man named David. A picture of where we're heading. We are mocked by the Antichrist spirit, and we will be mocked by Antichrist when he turns on those that he has sought to deceive. He will be in an alliance with those who accept him, even the church that accepts him. He has not come to stamp out religion, and he has not come to stamp out, you must look this way, quote, Christianity. He has come to stamp out true believers from the face of the earth. He has come to deceive them, and when he cannot deceive them, then his wrath will be aroused against them. Now, many will see this Antichrist come back from the dead and will believe that he is the Messiah to come, or that he is the Christ, and they will worship him. They will bow down, they will honor him, and they will swear allegiance to him. He isn't satisfied to have the people of the world, as I said. He wants the worship of the people of God. Notice that in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus began with the concept, or with the context, of the temple. Jesus began with the context of the temple. In verse 15, he speaks of the Antichrist making himself to be God in the holy place. Jesus clearly teaches, as Paul does in the New Testament, that the Jewish temple is no longer the place of God's throne.
Amen.
You, he says.
Amen.
Plural.
Amen.
The church. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that word temple in Paul's writings is the Greek word that is also used speaking of the holy place in the temple of God, the inner part of the temple.
Amen.
You are the holy place. He says, yes, I believe that the Antichrist is going to seek to win over the Jewish people. He's going to make a peace treaty and he's going to build a temple. I believe all of that's true. But the Lord, that does not help you to understand what God wants you to know. His desire is that he set himself up as God in the house of God.
That's right.
He wants to be God in the church of God.
That's right,
you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God says, an Antichrist comes to set himself up as God in the temple of God. In Thessalonians, it says that Antichrist exalts himself above all that is called God and is worshipped as God, and that he sits as God in the temple of God. Paul only uses that phrase, speaking to believers, to mean the house of God, the church, the people of God. Paul himself stresses elsewhere, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you don't take anything away from this today, I want you to understand that compromise and sin in your life leads to deception.
Yes.
It leads to deception. You begin to allow things in your life that are contrary to the Word of God. And you lose discernment. You lose the ability to withstand temptation. You lose the ability to see right from wrong clearly, and you begin to entertain things that are of not of the Spirit of Christ, but the spirit of Antichrist. And you begin to have allegiances. Listen closely. This is so important, or I wouldn't take this long this morning. This is so important, you form allegiances. Some of you have been through this. You form allegiances, and some of your brothers and sisters, or you thought were brothers and sisters, some of your friends in the church are now in the church that is the big, visible church that is corrupt, that has fallen away, and does not believe in many of the truths of God's Word. And you begin to talk about righteousness and holiness, and they say, oh, you're into legalism, you're into works. You say, no, I'm into loving my Lord and serving Him. And you tell them, you know, your lifestyle is displeasing to the Lord. And they say, who are you to say that my lifestyle is wrong? It's all grace. I'm saved by grace. And they think that it doesn't matter how they live their life, whether it honors the Lord or not. They are ripe. To receive the false prophet. They're right to receive Antichrist spirit. They're right to be deceived and think that those who set themselves up in the house of God are of God. And they are ripe if they continue to receive and worship the Antichrist who sets himself up as God. Even now, false prophets are paving the way for the manifestation of the man of sin, the lawless one, the Antichrist. What is your part? What is your part? Many tremble. Many tremble and say, how can I avoid this? How can I recognize him? How can I know that I will stand? How can I know that I will not take the mark, his mark? Beloved, you need to understand. When you understand this, you'll be set free. You need to understand that if you recognize Antichrist spirit right now, you will recognize the Antichrist then. If you understand, if you recognize lawlessness in the church right now, if you recognize compromise of God's Word right now, if you recognize deception right now, you will recognize all three of those things in the Antichrist.
Amen.
You need to understand that if you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, this is your guard. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You won't fall for the Antichrist. His hand will be upon you. The Lord's hand will be upon you to keep you in all your ways. Follow Him, serve Him, dedicate yourself fully to Him. Ask Him to be your teacher and your guide. The Lord will keep His people through this hour. You need to understand these things. You need to understand that you are already marked.
Thank you, Lord.
You have already received the mark, but not the mark of the beast. If you're a believer, you've already been marked spiritually by the Holy Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit
of God.
You have the mark of God. Zechariah saw the angel going out and he put a mark upon, God said, put a mark upon all of those who call themselves believers? No. All of those who go to the temple? No. All of those who say, oh, grace, grace? No. All of those, listen and see if this is you. All of those who sigh and cry over the sins of the people of God. All of those who care for the righteousness of God. All of those who have repentant hearts who say, Lord, help me with this area of sin in my life. Take it from me, Lord. I don't want to be like this. All of those who say, Lord, change my heart. Change my heart that I might be like you. Root out the things in me that are contrary to you. You have the mark of God upon you. You will not receive the mark of the beast because you will see it for what it is. You are already marked by God. He won't want you anymore. Beloved, do not think of the Antichrist as some future man, though he is. Antichrists have already come. They have literally filled the church of Jesus Christ and gone out from it when they were rejected and are in the world. Antichrist is at work now because he wants the bride. He wants the bride of Christ. If you belong to God, if you are His disciple, if you love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you are the kept ones of God. And most of you can testify, as you look back over your life in Christ, you can say, oh, I praise God for His keeping power.
Yes.
Do you think His keeping power is going to diminish over you? When things get worse and the Antichrist comes, no. Where darkness abounds, what happens? Grace abounds all the more. You're going to need the grace of God's hand upon your life, strengthening you, empowering you in this hour.
Yes.
You're already His, you're already sealed, and you already have the mark of God. I will close by saying, those who are listening to the sound of my voice, wherever you may be, if you've not fully surrendered your heart and your life to the Lord, you're susceptible to deception. And the Lord's calling out to you, saying, come, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest from striving, rest from all of the things that the turmoil in your mind, rest from trying to please God through all of your good works. Rest from trying to claw your way up a ladder into heaven. Rest that you might simply rest in Christ's power over your life. His fullness in your life. Receive Him as He meant for you to receive Him. Not by simply repeating a prayer at some time. Though if you meant it with all of your heart, you may have followed in it. But for many, it's just words. Receive Him as He said to receive Him, by bowing to Him as Lord over all of your life, yielding yourself completely to Him, saying, Lord, change me. Save me and change me. I repent of my sin. Take me and make me into the person that You want me to be. Forgive me. Save me. I receive You. I will yield my life to You every day and follow You. Antichrist will come, but has already come. Many have already come. And they were closer to you than you thought. some sat perhaps by you in a church somewhere. The Lord says you need to be sharp. You need to be sharp, not with your intellect. You need to be sharp in the Spirit, filled with the Word of God, the Spirit of God, in order that you might discern deception. It begins with a little seed. Mm-hmm. Someone gives you just a little truth, something that they were reading the Word of God, and sometimes they even thought God was showing it to them. But they didn't compare it with all of the rest of Scripture. They didn't stop to compare with those from that have come before us that have studied the Word for an entire lifetime and given commentaries on it that we might even compare and say, what are these men and women of God that have been used mightily by Him? What did they say about this? Because they are there as accountability. God has teachers in His body.
Amen.
And we go to the teachers and we say, am I right here? Paul even did this. He was caught up into the third heaven in the presence of God, saw things he couldn't even utter. But the gospel that he was given, that he preached for the rest of his life, he went back to the disciples because God gave it all to him directly. But he went back to the disciples and submitted it to them to see if what he had lined up with what they were preaching, what they were testifying. Study to show yourself an approved workman. We need to close. I'm going to ask you to stand.